This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Save a Pooch on Pet Life Radio. I am Beverly Isla, your host. Thank you for listening in today. Our guests are Barb Ashmead, Founder Executive Director of Operation Freedom Paws Canada, and Ellen Switler, I'll just call you Ellen, also Assistant Executive Director of Operations Freedom Paws Canada. And their work is grounded in an idea where a rescue dog is trained as a service animal. So it does provide a really valuable solution because it's finding purpose in both ends of the leash. So through Operation Freedom Paws Canada, veterans, first responders, and individuals with disabilities are matched with rescue dogs, and together they're trained to become certified service teams. So it's a purpose-driven bond that transforms, as I said, both ends of the leash. So when we get back from these messages, we'll be joined by Barb and Ellen.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We are talking with Barb, Founder, Executive Director, and Ellen, Assistant Executive Director of Operation Freedom Paws Canada. Thank you both for being here today. So to get started, can you share a brief overview of what Operation Freedom Paws Canada is and how it works? Like, what inspired you to bring this unique model, training rescue dogs alongside veterans, to Canada?
Well, actually, I got a phone call from our base, our Air Force base up here on the island, and they had heard about me, and they said, would you be able to train a service dog for one of our veterans? And I said, at this time, no, but give me a chance to look at it. So I started doing a lot of research, and I ended up finding a group in the States run by a lady called Mary Curtani called Operation Freedom Paws. And how I found her was she was one of the 10 finalists in the CNN Hero of the Year. And so I phoned her and finally got a hold of her and talked. And then I went down to visit her. And I loved her model because she used rescue dogs. And she also spread the training out for a minimum of 48 weeks. So they had lots of time to work and become a true bonded team. So I love that method. So I came back here and I started it. And then I was working with another group at that time, and they decided after 4 years to change and go another direction. So I then went back and talked to Mary, and she allowed us to start Operation Freedom Paws Canada. She gave us permission and all the help we needed. She mentored us tremendously to allow us to start this. And so we've been doing that. So we've been up and running for a little over 5 years, and we've graduated 66 people through our program.
So what year did you guys start? Are you a veteran yourself?
No, I'm not, but I'm old, and both my parents were World War II veterans.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I grew up around both my parents were. My mom served in the Women's Air Force over in London, England, and my dad went through Sicily, Italy, and then through Holland. And so all their friends were people who had served, and I didn't realize as a kid I was growing up among a lot of people with PTSD. So when I finally realized how well dogs would work, I gravitated towards this. And when I found this whole thing, I loved it. This was a dream to be able to help people with a psychological injury, especially veterans, and help them find somebody who was with them 24/7.
Yeah, that does sound amazing. And in the States, do they also deal with the same audience, or are they dealing with different groups?
No, they deal with veterans and first responders and others. Veterans have the highest priority to come in here because
oh, okay.
And then we go from there. But we have all sorts of dogs and all sorts of people.
That's awesome. I love that the healing goes both ways. Now, can you share more about what happens when a person and a dog begin this type of journey together?
All right. When they begin the journey at OFP Canada, it's very, everybody's excited. Like, we have owner-trained dogs, which the owner brings their own dog to the program, and we have people we match, rescue dogs, to a person. So the first day is always crazy. Everybody's excited. And it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, you guys mainly work with rescue dogs. Are the organizations there? Because you guys are on Vancouver Island, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
So do you guys work with rescue organizations on the island?
We work with one rescue organization on the island. We have got dogs from First Nations. We have got dogs from the Afghanistan airlift that happened 3 years ago in Vancouver. We have got dogs that people have given up on.
Aw, that's nice that you guys took that on.
Yeah.
And so we've had all types of dogs. And we also
have all sizes, from little to large.
Yeah. Our smallest dog is 7 pounds. Our biggest dog is 120 pounds.
What job does a 7-pounder have?
We have a variety of dogs. So when we line up all our people, especially all our graduates, no two dogs look alike.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So are they matched by like what they're gifted at with the veterans and first responders?
We've had dogs. You don't get the dog you want, get the dog you need. This is match dogs.
So we take the dog through an assessment first. It's a 5-page assessment, and we walk them through and decide, we're going to take this dog from the shelter. And then we bring the dog in. But meanwhile, we've interviewed our people for our next class starting. So we get an idea what they're like. And then the first day they come in, we match them with the dogs. And we're about 98% right. So it's amazing. It's just you look at and you go, okay, this person can handle this dog and this person will handle that dog. And so it works out really well. And, you know, because our program's a minimum of 48 weeks, they spend a lot of time training and working hard. And so it gives them a chance to bond. And you'll watch that bond grow and grow and grow over time.
So 48 weeks is the length of your program. And that is a mandatory program, I'm assuming, with the people that you accept, right?
Yeah, you have to do 200 hours. So that includes the hours that you're training, which comes out to about 182 hours. If you train, but we always say a minimum of 48 weeks. Each person here is on their own journey. So as much as they work together in a group training, they're still on their own journey. And so some people are ready in 48 weeks and some people aren't ready for 60 weeks. You know, we don't push people. They come along in their own time and we work at them from that. The rest of the hours are made up through mall training, public access training, things like that. And so they have their 200 hours in.
Gotcha. And what are some of the changes that you've witnessed in both the people and the dogs through this program?
When they start off their journey here, like I said before, it's very overwhelming. And they always think, okay, I'm doing this wrong. They're worried about doing things wrong and they get frustrated. Okay. So the dog doesn't respond what they hope for, doesn't listen. So it gets really frustrating sometimes. But this is all a part of the whole process here. And then we see about week 4, we can see a shift. They start to connect. They start to the little bond. It takes a while to bond, but they start to understand. And the dog knows, okay, this is my person. And so connection starts slowly.
Right. I can imagine. Yeah.
It starts clicking there. And for every person, their own journey is unique. Everybody has different issues. And so everything happens in different pace.
Speed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all the dogs. Okay. This is week 4. Everything clicked. So it happens to every individual different.
Repetition is our name. We repeat, because people who have psychological injuries have a hard time comprehending stuff because there's so much going on in their brain. So by repeating and repeating, it becomes a habit. So teaching them how to sit their dogs sounds very straightforward, but some people have trouble getting their footwork done, their hand command done. So we work and work and work on it until it becomes natural to them.
Yes.
So they just come out, and we do that with each and everything that we teach. We teach this really grounded building blocks at the beginning, and then we build on top of those building blocks. And then we add in, the dogs will start alerting, and we start helping them understand why their dog is alerting. And then if they need certain tasks, like if they need stuff picked up, we start teaching them that. So by the time they're done, they're really a well-bonded team.
Yeah, powerful partnership between them.
Oh, that's nice. Because I can imagine, like, the dogs that are coming from the rescues, they also have their own traumas.
Yes.
The five dogs we got from the Afghanistan airlift that came in from Kabul, all of them, pretty much all the dogs had seen some form of war. And so they took a long time to decompress, and then we matched them up and we moved them through the program. And only one didn't make it out of the five. And that's because...
One failed?
Yeah, one failed because I think he had severe hit. But otherwise, the rest of them made it and have done really well in their lives. But when we pick a dog, we look for a very smart dog. And the reason why a lot of dogs end up in rescue is because they're bored. And so when we run them through the assessment, we're looking for a smart dog. And those are the ones we want because they want to work. They want to have a job. And so we give them that job with that person. Job is to look after that person.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're just going to have a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue our conversation with Barb and Ellen.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We're talking with Barb, Founder, Executive Director, and Ellen, Assistant Executive Director of Operation Freedom Paws Canada. So with the dogs that you're matching to your audience, what transformation do they go through? And then I'm talking about like the dogs, because they have like the mental traumas and stuff. And then you also have the other end of it where you're helping the people that have disabilities. Is there like one side that's harder to manage than the other, if that makes any sense?
The dogs, when we assign the dogs, it doesn't take them long to realize they've got a person 24/7. And most of the dogs are very excited about. The people we match them with sometimes take a while because they've had a lot of trauma too. And so they've got to learn to trust that dog. And trust is a very difficult thing for someone with trauma. So all the people in our program still see a psychologist, a therapist, anything like that. So they're getting counseling at least a couple times a month, if not every week. And so they work at it that way. And that really helps them become a bonded pair. And so it's usually the human that takes the longest to realize they've got this incredible partner that is going to be with them 24/7. And once they click into that, they buy into the whole thing, they just sail. It's wonderful to watch them sail.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And then they go through the program.
The success stories that you guys have, like, can you share a story that really touched you, I guess? A moment that showed you just how powerful like a pair can be once they're bonded and know exactly who they're with.
I asked this one person if I could use her name, and she said yes, and her name is Alejandra. And we matched her with a dog called Teddy. Teddy was basically on the road to be euthanized, and I didn't think he was ready for that yet. So we brought him in here and we had him for a few months. And when I met Alejandra, I went, I think this is the right dog for her. And so she took Teddy and they had to work really hard together. But I saw a person, she was a mother, and I watched her grow from being apprehensive about the world to being strong and getting out there and walking her dog, going grocery shopping, going to her kids' graduation, going to all these things that she suddenly started doing. And I watched her confidence just bloom. I watched Teddy love the fact that he had a whole person to himself. And it worked out so well that Alejandra came back and is a mentor trainer for us now. And she's still growing. And it's wonderful to watch that. We probably have, out of all the people training, the 66 people graduated, we've got 66 stories and they're all a little different. Yeah. Yeah. But it's wonderful. Ellen, do you have a story you want to talk about?
Well, we are also, like, we have a girl who, she came to us, she didn't talk, she was shy.
She didn't look at you.
She didn't look at you. And we gave her a dog, one of the Afghanistan dogs. And, like, we just saw the video today, she graduated.
She graduated from high school.
From high school. So, it's like, yeah.
She laughs, she smiles, her dog's with her.
So that's for us. That's success.
And success.
It's so great to see, to help somebody to move forward like that.
Yeah, I like that. You guys are achieving the double purpose mission here. Love it.
Yeah, and so do we.
What are some common misconceptions about service dogs and the training process?
Lots of people think, many people believe that any dog can be a service dog. Or the training is quick and easy, you know? It's like, I don't have to put the work in. We always tell our people, it is hard work. It's, and after certification, you're not done. You still have to keep going with the training. Service dogs are not just well-behaved pets. Yeah, they have to perform critical tasks like what their person that they need. I mean, we have diabetes alert dogs, things like
we have whatever, people who faint.
We have people who faint. So these dogs are there for their person, and they're not just well trained pets now.
They can perform the tasks and they have the alerts. Yeah. A lot of places feel that you have to train the dog to the alert. We let the dog alert the person first. So we watch very carefully, Ellen and I, when everybody's training. And we'll see the dog start doing something, either leaning against them or actually maybe jumping on them. And then we'll tell the person to sit down. And that's where we start seeing the fact that, you know, 10 minutes later or 20 minutes later, they have a seizure or they have POTS and so they faint. Yeah. So the dog can tell this. It's like with our diabetic dogs. They can tell in far faster than they can on a monitor that the person's blood sugar is either going to go up or down. So they can alert.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's all done on smell.
Yeah.
It's all done on smell. And 60% of a dog's brain is smell. And so they can smell your body chemistry really quickly. And they can start doing that. And we had one person who just started last week whose dog alerted to a seizure the very first day. It was sitting beside her whining. And we were watching and suddenly she had a seizure. Her seizures are, she just disappears. She doesn't have a grand mal. And she just kind of disappeared. And the dog, she had a seizure and the dog was there. And then we start teaching the dogs. We teach them to put peanut butter here or on the bottom of their feet. And so the dogs lick them. And the more the dog licks, the faster you're going to come out of the seizure. Huh. So, you know, these dogs all do this naturally. We just developed it.
Yeah.
We just develop it and hone it in a little more.
Yeah, we don't teach that. You cannot teach that.
Yeah. So,
but we observe. And if it's a repeated same act that you, when something happens, then it's an alert. So we tell the client.
Yeah.
And we also tell our clients also when it is alert, make sure you thank your dog.
Yeah. Like one I told you about earlier, Teddy and Alejandra. About the third week Alejandra came into training, Teddy was just acting like nuts. And I was going, oh my God, what's going on here? So she sat down and Teddy kept jumping up and touching the left side of her face with his nose. And 10 minutes later, she goes, I've got a migraine. And that's what Teddy was trying to tell her. She was getting a migraine. So now she listens to Teddy. She goes out, she takes her meds, and she comes back in, puts her sunglasses on, and then she's fine. Quite often, she can avoid her migraine.
Yeah.
And the dog alerts to that. And that's, his way was really weird because he kept jumping up and touching the left side, and her migraine was on the left side. And so these dogs are so brilliant. You just have to learn to listen to them. It's a very common term here. Listen to your dog.
We tell the clients, do a head-to-toe check. What's going on? Are you frustrated? Are you in pain? Are you angry? Head-to-toe. Are you in to check what's going on? And if something is going on, listen to your dog.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Either sit down, sit on the ground, have your dog lay across you, do some deep pressure. And when you're ready, start training again.
Jeez. Do you find like there's other, like certain breeds that are better at detecting?
No, they're all good.
Wow.
Because all dogs, we teach them right away to use their dog's nose. We teach them games like find it, which fist has the treat in it. We teach them to find it. We teach all sorts of different things so that the dog uses the brain. The more it uses its brain, the better he can smell your body chemistry. And they can smell it a long ways away too. We had somebody tell us that their dog was in the backyard and they were in their carport and they were having a really bad moment and suddenly their dog was there jumping on them. And he said, I didn't understand at first, but then he realized he was mad and angry. And the dog was telling them, sit down,
calm down.
Yeah, calm down. And, you know, and so we teach them, thank your dog and understand that they're not doing this to be annoying, but they're doing this because there's something going on with you and you need to learn to listen to the cues.
We also have a client here. It's just amazing to see. She faints and the dog alerts her. He just pulls her to a safe place. 45 minutes before it actually happens, he can do it. You ask her, how are you feeling? I'm fine. I'm fine.
And then,
and the dog just pulls her to a safe place. And sure enough, so she sits down. 45 minutes later, she is out.
Anyway, 45 minutes is the longest he'll tell her. Today, it was about 10 minutes in advance. He pulled her to a chair. I took a look at her. I said, sit down on the ground. She passed out. The dog sat with her. And then he starts licking her.
Yeah.
And you see her hand come up and she starts coming out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah.
It just blows me away each and every time what a dog can do to alert.
Yeah. Wow. You guys take regular training look like peanuts now. Best train your dog to save your life.
We haven't had a peanut dog, but down in the States, they had a peanut dog and he was amazing. Because if you had eaten peanuts in the last 48 hours, he would not let you approach her.
Interesting.
Yeah. So dogs are amazing. And we don't realize just how amazing they are. And rescue dogs, like I said, a lot of them end up in rescue because they're too smart.
Hallelujah to that statement. Yes.
And that's why rescue is so important to us. I actually looked up this fact that in the States, 1.7 million dogs are euthanized a year. In Canada, it's about 100,000. So if we can save a dozen dogs a year, then we've done a job. We've done something right to help those dogs match up with people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All these breeders.
Yeah.
How can people support your mission, whether it be donations, volunteering, fostering? I mean, do you guys use fosters?
If you live on Vancouver Island, we are looking for fosters, and we're always looking for volunteers for when we have an event to raise money for us. But the major thing, like every charity needs, is money.
For sure, yeah.
We're especially looking to try and develop our monthly donor ones, so people donate every month, so we can start realizing this is how much money we have coming in each month. And so we're looking at that. But yes, money with any charity is what you need to survive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we make it work. We do our best on very little money. It costs us about $18,000 a dog, but then we look for
as much as we can.
And that's cheap. Mm-hmm. Other schools are anywhere between $30,000 to $40,000 a dog. But because we use a rescue dog, it cuts our cuts it down tremendously.
Right.
And gives the dog a chance.
Wow. Kudos for you guys.
We love it.
Yeah. So my last question of the day to both of you is, what does it mean to you personally when you see this rescue dog and handler become certified and they can both now go out in their life, like living on purpose, literally living on purpose?
For me, well, it makes you proud.
Yeah.
That you've done a good job, that you helped somebody, they live a better life. This is me, how I see it. Sometimes it's you doubt yourself and you start doubting. But when you see the end result, it's just so heartwarming. It's just, for me, this is it.
Yeah, for me, it makes me realize that I've done something right in life. And that's really important. Like I've helped these people, and I'm like Ellen, very proud to be able to help these people and let them go off and live a good life, and you know, help them to have a better bond with their wives, their children, their families, everything. Go grocery shopping, go to a movie, go to a rock concert, whatever they want, they can now start doing that, and then they just tend to get better and better.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, they deserve that. It's like, for what they've put in, all the work that they put in, you know,
yeah,
like,
right, yeah.
Yeah, that's another rant that I won't start, but
yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Barb and Ellen, for coming out today. We are out of time.
Yep.
So thank you again for being here and for the work you do with Operation Freedom Paws Canada. Your mission gives healing and purpose to people and dogs who might otherwise be forgotten. Thanks to our show producer, Mark Winter, for making the show possible. You can learn more about Bob and Ellen's work by visiting OperationFreedomPawsCanada.ca. We'll also have the link posted on our show page. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at beverly@petliferadio.com. So until next time, spread animal compassion.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.